The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
All of us have heroes, and many heroes have sidekicks. But when you got a guy whose kayfabe story is that he went from a bully to a superhero, that deserved a whole lot more press, and was probably a better representation of Matt Inouye, who passed this Monday at the age of 47 from heart issues. He was one of the few in the crowd that came in. Had an interview with us here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I was a very good friend of his. At the table tonight, I have another good friend of mine, Jason Block.
Yeah, this has not been a good week. I mean, I was worried for you when we got the news on Monday, because I know how close you were to him and his family. So, and I know we've been talking off air all week. I've been trying to keep you sane, and this is not a telling tales out of school sort of thing. This is a sort of, you know, you're my bud. And this was tough. This was just tough.
This hurts. And to somebody that I would have been happy to introduce him to, my good friend Bad News Beeman, all the way on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, this was actually bad news that I did not want to report, because I never got to meet the man personally. Unfortunately, he was not one of the ones that got to make it over here to Australia. But I've heard nothing but good reports about Matt Inouye, a.k.a. Rosie. And he came across even more charismatic on the TV when he went from being the big bulldozer for 3 minute warning to the fun loving superhero sidekick.
Not the first wrestler to try to get away with saying the word shit on television.
Indeed. And made Grimace popular again. So
that's The Rock's fault. But this was, you know, looking at broadly across his WWE career, that's pretty much what he was. I mean, yeah, they started off with 3 minute warning, which is a very underrated, you know, street thug Samoan tag team. Hey, that sounds familiar.
Oh, you know, are you talking the Usos, or are we talking?
Yeah, I'm talking the Usos.
Well, I mean, let's just also remember, and again, this is where I got my restraining order. I say jokingly, because when Eric Bischoff said, "Can you say 3 minutes to Lillian Garcia?" And that was one of the rare times she actually took a bump, if not, I believe, the only time she did.
at least one that she was actually prepared to do. Blame Charlie Haas for the other one.
Yes.
But yeah, what I do, you know, I know a little bit about Rosie pre-WWE. He came up through when he was coming through when Heartland Wrestling was still a farm system for the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought onto the roster with his cousin, Eddie Fatu, a.k.a. Jamal, who we lost a few years ago to similar circumstances. They were tagging for about a year and a half, and then I believe Jamal was very suddenly released.
Hang on. Wasn't he better known as the Samoan Bulldozer?
That's Umaga, yes.
Yeah. Because Eddie Fatu was released, and then a couple of years later, we got Umaga.
Mm-hmm. He was brought back in 06-ish. Yeah, it was 06-ish, because he debuted the night after WrestleMania 22.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
April 3rd, 06.
Okay,
April
3rd. I was right, because I was and there.
And he spiked Ric Flair, yeah.
But, yeah, Rosie kind of drifted for a little bit once the three-minute warning gimmick broke up, and it was just this stupid, silly skit shortly after the whole fiasco with Kane being unmasked that Hurricane was looking for a new tag team partner. And when they came up with the term superhero in training, Goldust happens to walk by and and gets a few bleeps out of it. Now, I have to correct myself on a story that I told you, Jason. Rosie did not get the actual holy shit chant when he came out in the new costume, which was in 05. Oh, no. 0405. I'll look it up. It happened when he first came out in the homemade costume.
The t-shirt.
Yeah, the t-shirt and the leggings and the big baggy shorts, you know, that whole mess. That's where he got the holy shit chant. Probably the most relevant ever holy shit chant in the world. And I was somebody who, you know, dug the idea that somebody was willing to be that ridiculous, wearing a Hamburglar-style mask, using a hurricane beach towel for a cape.
Yes, it was a beach towel, right? It was like every 5 to 7 year old boy who pretends to be Superman. Excuse me, Shane, you have experience on this, having a son that age. So, yes.
Yeah, my son's not really at the... Oh, well, yeah, actually, yeah, he has started getting into the whole using a towel for a cape thing, but I digress. But
that's what Rosie was. When he was the superhero in training, the reason why it got over is because he was that kid. A big version of that kid. Am I correct, Nikki? Does that make sense?
That's how it felt to me. So, and I enjoyed that, you know, I got all kinds of aspirations in my head and ideas, as my crazy imagination likes to do. And I started, every time I was going to a show where the heroes were performing, I had a comic book cover of the two of them doing whatever. And the first one I held up, Rosie actually came over by the guardrail and asked me if I'd drawn him looking like a jackass, and I said, "No, man, it's anthro art, but you're a wild boar. You're not a jackass." So, this would go on. I met him at a big autograph signing in Dayton. They were doing this big charity thing with motorcycles. They also had about 20 wrestlers there. And Hurricane and Rosie were both there, but they weren't sitting next to each other. So I asked her, Hurricane, you know, when is Rosie going to graduate soon? And he wouldn't answer me. He wouldn't give me a straight answer. I get to Rosie and I said, "Are you graduating soon?" He says, "Ask Hurricane."
Very good. Very good.
Fast forward to the Raw on July 21st, 2004, where Hurricane suffers a loss to Tyson Tomko, who decides
who?
To keep... Yeah, exactly. Damn, I want my soundboard back. So Tyson's taking some liberties on our poor little superhero when his graduate decides to show up in an awesome new costume. And they were chanting for Rosie. They were actually chanting for him. Sad to say that this team was one of the longest tenured tag teams at that time. They had signed up as a tag team in mid-late 03 and stayed a tag team until late 05. Because this is during the period where they broke up the Dudleys.
Exactly.
This is when they tried to do Bully's solo career and Brother Devon.
And, of course, they had, the sidekick, Super Stacy.
Well, yeah, and Hurricane had Mighty Molly even before that. But Super Stacy was on board for a little bit, and this is where the tag team kind of bogged down. They had dropped the tag belts. They'd won the tag belts at Backlash 05, and a couple of months later they dropped, and I want to say...
Cade Murdoch.
They did drop him to Cade Murdoch. And I think that match pissed me off because I thought Hurricane had hit the edge of the ring kind of awkward.
No, it was actually Unforgiven because the night they debuted, they beat Rosie and the Hurricane. And during the title match, he delivered an elevated DDT on the outside, which caused suffer a stinger and allowed Cade Murdoch to beat the injured Hurricane later in the match to win the tag belts.
Okay, so he really did get hurt. Okay, now I'm even
angrier. Storyline.
Storyline. Oh, man. Okay. I won't be mad. I can't be mad for somebody else who's no longer with us. But yeah, Rosie stayed with the company shortly after his breakup with Hurricane in November 2005. This was shortly before Eddie passed. This was the same night I got to see Kerwin White in person.
Mm-hmm.
And only those who actually had half hours to watch Unlimited knew why Rosie was fighting Hurricane, or shall I say, Shane Helms.
Right, Gregory Shane Helms, there. Right?
Yeah, who decided that he just wanted to be himself and didn't want to be a superhero anymore, which didn't work very well for either one of them. After that match, Rosie was taken off TV and he was released in early 2006.
Yep, March of 2006. Now, may I actually throw in a bit of a WLTI crossover?
Sure.
With this?
Sure.
Because a year later, he appeared on an ABC reality show called Fat March in 2007, which was basically to take, at the time, which was to try and glom off a show called The Biggest Loser. Okay.
Right, it was a similar concept, but it was even more brutal.
Right, 12 overweight people to walk over 570 miles through 9 states in order to lose weight and get fit while trying to win $102 million, and he quit during the 5th episode because of knee injuries. So, what I'm asking is that because 7 years later, if I may fast forward, well, I'm not going to necessarily fast forward because he did some independent work. Why don't you talk about that?
I will. He would go back and work on and off with HWA, and he would do appearances here and there. He got his arm twisted into working a couple of shows with under Jimmy Wang Yang when I was down there with pro training. I do remember an infamous night where he came in with his gear and I was already dressed. He says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm here to work. What are you doing here?" And I'm still kicking myself that I never got a picture with him because this was one of the few times I got to see him in person in the white alternate uniform.
Okay.
This was also the same night that apparently he had a little ring rust and knocked somebody's shoulder out of its socket.
And he also was running a Fed called Epic Championship Wrestling at the time of his passing. But there is also another reason why we're talking about this, because somebody within the Fed right now was related to Mr. Anoa'i.
Yeah. And I don't know how long, how long they knew that Rosie was, quote unquote, on his last legs. I don't like putting it that way. But some people think that, you know, if this was another reason to write Roman off TV, was so that he could be with his brother. And the services were, as of today's recording, April the 21st, Roman was one of the pallbearers.
Shit. Damn. Are there pictures out there?
I haven't seen any. I just know from I have the obit. Let me pull it up real quick.
I have a feeling I might know where you might have been going with that, Jason, but I'm hoping
there is a joke in there, but no.
No. I am hoping with all my heart though that there are some people with fucking common sense out there that even if you hate Roman with every little beat in your heart, that you would have enough friggin' respect to like leave the man alone and say, "Oh, what happened to your injury, Roman?" If there's a picture of him carrying the casket.
Oh, well, somebody's going to be that idiot. There's always that idiot. But yeah, the pallbearers were Roman, Ruscott, Sam. I wonder if that's Samu. Lloyd Anoa'i, Afa Jr., Christopher Castanon, and Stephen Mark Chan.
Right, because that's happening tomorrow, actually.
Oh, it is tomorrow. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so he's probably off the road anyway. There's no way he's on the road.
No.
Because I actually have... Would you like me to read the obituary? Because I have it.
No, I've got it all in front of me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So, Matt Dapuanu Anoa'i, hopefully I didn't mangle that, was born in San Francisco, California, and grew up in Pensacola, Florida. On April 17th, he passed away peacefully in his sleep. A graduate of Escambia High School, class of 88, furthered his education at Mississippi Delta Community College and the University of Hawaii, playing football for all three schools. He was passionate about football and was a lifelong 49er fan. Don't hold that against him, Jason.
Damn, get out of my head.
His passion turned to professional wrestling when he joined up with the WWE, performing under the ring name Rosie, or, you know, Citizen Roosevelt, depending on who you asked at the time. Matt loved being a wrestler. He loved his wrestling family and all of the fans, but his biggest love in his life are his children. He is survived by three children, Madison, Jordan, and Koa, who's the youngest. I saw that kid born, damn it. His father, the well-known Sika of the Wild Samoans. Patricia, Lisa, Anoa'i, four sisters, Vanessa, Summer, Sue, Sharon, and Maritza, his younger brother, and more cousins and friends than we can count.
Damn right on that.
That's right.
But that is also a Samoan family, too.
Exactly. But yes, funeral services will be held on April 22nd at Faith Chapel Funeral Home South. Interment will follow services at the Bayview Memorial Park Cemetery. Family will receive friends from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday at the funeral home. Okay, that's what I was thinking of. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the charity that was closest to Matt's heart, Children's Tumor Foundation, care of Kelly Mills, 16501 Ventura Boulevard, Suite 400, Encino, California, or donate at www.nfwalk.org/Seattle in memory of Matt. Because, you know, and if you do have a couple of bucks to throw at it, do this. Because this guy was a great big kid in his own right. I'll tell an even better story. I was at the Raw when they did the rescuing the cat from the tree.
Oh, okay. The old lady with the rest. Okay.
No, the little kid with her cat stuck in the tree.
Okay.
Not helping the old lady across the street and getting beaten up because he told her what he was. Mm-hmm. He came out and signed autographs before they went out to shoot the skit. And he posed with me and he says, isn't this the dorkiest thing you've ever seen? And he said it with this great big smile and, you know, it was more pride and humor than, you know, shame. He was like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm having fun.
That's how you gotta be though. And from what I read, from what his wife wrote down, he was the same at home as he was in the ring. Because apparently he loved steam rolling over his over his kids.
Oh yeah.
But she said to clarify it for people that thought, oh, this guy bulldozed over his kids. No, he would literally roll over his kids, but do it so softly that it was putting no weight on them whatsoever.
See, he works light.
I have an interesting someone who wrote in the guest book. Okay.
Okay.
And when you hear the name, you'll know who it is. She wrote, "Rest in peace, Matt. You've always been so kind to me and the girls. Seems so hard since we just talked a little bit ago. May the family take refuge in God's grace and love. Crystal Jacobs from Knoxville, Tennessee, a.k.a. Glenn Jacobs' wife."
Wow. But yeah, I mean, Rosie at least got a placard at the beginning of SmackDown. I wasn't expecting a video package, although they might do that on... I'd like them to do that on Raw if they can find enough footage. TNA has supposedly had a placard as well.
Yes, they did.
But we're not going to see that for like how many months?
No. They inserted it into Thursday night's broadcast.
Okay.
Yes, they inserted it. Yes. Because we're going to be talking about Impact for a very different reason later on.
There's things about that show that I liked and things I'm going to be burying, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yes. You know, I am an unabashed Heroes fan from day one. But the outpouring has been 99% positive that I've seen online between the boards and there is a private Facebook page in memory of Matt, where I've posted a couple of things, including the fact that I'm probably one of the five people that actually owned a Heroes t-shirt that had Hurricane Rosie and Super Stacy on it.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Also, I'm proud to say that somewhere in Matt's household, a couple of my posters are hanging on the wall, including one of him and Hurricane with the tag belts.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I'm going to brag.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that need to be hung up, just so we can get all the bad news out of the way, one man, I think it is about time, and yes, you can take that pun, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hang up the boots, Vader. It is time.
I thought he already had, because I thought he was already laid up with something. He only had a couple of months to live, or am I thinking of somebody else? A
couple of years, actually.
Okay.
It was his heart. He was wrestling in a show in Japan. He was wrestling for the 45th anniversary celebration for Tatsumi Fujinami. Okay?
Okay.
He tweeted, "Last night, the first match for Fujinami's 45th anniversary show in Tokyo sold out. Did the opening spot for Fujinami, I dropped on my head. It absolutely had nothing to do with my heart's condition. I'm in tremendous condition, and other than being dropped on my head, I feel great."
He's fine.
Yeah, well.
He's fine, but look, I'm sorry that I've got to be the realist here, but... Nobody, we talked about this a few shows ago where nobody wants to see a real-life Mickey Rourke the wrestler.
Right.
And I have a very bad feeling, especially in Japan. Like, come on. We have a young man that's like half the age of Vader whose career is possibly over due to a headbutt. And yet you've got Vader at his age who's still doing this rough style of wrestling and he's got a bad heart. It's like, dude, I know you love the business. I love the business as well. But yeah, if I had a bad heart and I was a full-time wrestler, I'd be saying, yeah, no, I'm not doing this anymore. My health's more important than this.
Mm-hmm. So...
because he got lucky this time around. He's lucky he, like, only hit his head.
True.
So why don't we just... do you have any final thoughts?
With Rosie, I just say that I just hope that maybe, I hate to say it, but sometimes it takes something like this to get something to change. Deep down, I kind of hope that his passing isn't in vain, and maybe that'll get people to stop just hating on Roman just because it's cool to hate him.
Well, let me throw this at you, and I'll ask this because this was suggested to me by our good friend Gordon Pepper, who was on the show last week, and by the way, should be coming back anytime. He was fantastic.
Suitably warned.
Yes. he said that if you want to get Roman over, you throw this in there. I don't know.
See, I don't either, because for all of my love of Rosie and for all of my love of what little there was to the tag team division in 2005, is he a big enough name to the current fan base to really move the needle?
Are we talking about Rosie here, or are we talking about Roman?
Well, I'm talking about using Rosie's death to help Roman get over.
This isn't like
Paul Bearer.
Do you want brutal honesty here?
Yeah.
Brutal honesty. For those marks that have a heart, this is going to get Roman a month or two tops of backing off. Like, they'll back off him for 1 or 2 months tops.
Right.
Do I think WWE should use it to try and get Roman over? Honestly, no. Because, like, they've tried everyone living to get Roman over, and they get the same result. And I don't want a man's death to get the same result, because I feel that's putting disgrace on Roman, on Rosie's passing.
Yeah. I really don't want it to come up in storyline. I really don't want it to come up otherwise on TV than what we saw on SmackDown. And unfortunately, this is the wrestling business, and it may end up getting used. I just don't think it's going to be very effective.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind if they do the whole black armband thing. That's fine. Have a tribute night for Rosie, that's completely fine. But yeah, don't do a Rey Mysterio type angle with Roman Reigns, because it's not going to work.
No, that's not going to work at all. Although I am very bemused at the thought of Roman walking around in a Rosie mask.
I was actually about to say the same thing. I'm like, are we going to... It's like, so if that's what Gordon wants, Gordon, are you telling us that you want us to have Roman Reigns come out?
No. His exact words were, and I'm going to find it here, because he sent it to me in a private message, and I'll just... Okay. All he said was, if Vince McMahon wants to make Roman a good guy, you add his brother's death into the storyline. That's it. No rosy mask, no anything like that. That's what he said. And I think there is validity to that. The question is, do you pull the trigger, and would he get sympathy? And that is a legit question. I mean, it's not morbid. It is a legit question.
It is. And my answer, sadly, is I don't think it will, because I don't think a lot of the current fan base even remember him.
Yeah, like I said, I think it'll just get him a month hall pass or a 2 month hall pass. That's about it. But eventually it'll be back to Roman sucks and go away.
Yeah. But, you know, let's give the guy some time. And I mean, this has affected the entire Samoan family. Rikishi had posted. I got to find this real quick.
Okay. Here's the cynical part in me coming out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Okay. If I say it wouldn't work, but if you wanted to do something like that, the only way I can see it working is if you're going to add it to his heel turn. Add it to the fact that a poor man has had a death happen in his family. These ungrateful asshole fans have done nothing but harass Roman and berate Roman, even when his brother has just passed away. So all Roman's got to say is, fuck you all, and he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. Yeah, I mean,
pretty much. But yeah, and I quote from Rikishi. No Samoan dynasty family members are wrestling this weekend. We pay our respects to our Us Matt down in Florida. Our first day, our hashtag first day off in decades.
Okay, so that means we're not seeing Roman Monday, and we're not seeing Tamina on Tuesday.
No, this weekend, he said.
Oh, this weekend. Okay. Well, I just figured that.
This whole weekend. So, but yeah. Even if WWE doesn't say much about him, even if we haven't heard much about him, you know, I had the pleasure and honor of knowing him. I had the pleasure of meeting his wife and most of his children. I had the pleasure to work with him. And that's why it's hit me so hard. But if you're we should get on to better things.
Yes. Well, speaking of better things, getting on to happier news, for those of you that have been worrying about Mick Foley, please do not worry anymore, because Mick Foley has updated everybody and said his hip replacement surgery was a complete success.
And apparently he did not get a clown to come visit him. He had an elf.
Yes. Ironically, an elf named Noel.
No. But it wasn't a clown named Frankie, but hi.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm. Has she kicked that douche back to the curb yet? Jesus.
Not yet.
Oh, God. I've seen that guy wrestle, and I've seen him do promos. Sweet mother of God. If Doink the Clown was alive today, ladies and gentlemen, I wish for Doink to come out and hit the man with a hammer. just to piss him off.
Well, I just think it's kind of karmic for the goofy, all the goofy crap that Mick Foley's gone through in his life. Now his daughter is dating a clown.
Yeah, it's like Mick Foley's. Mick's like, okay, look, I know I became Dude Love every now and then, but this guy's beyond Dude Love. This guy's bigger joke than Dude Love. What the hell?
So, but yeah, Foley surgery went really well, and he's, you know, he was recovering nicely, and with all that weight he lost, the rehab should go very well also. As for Stephanie, her feelings were severely injured at WrestleMania when she fell through the table and everybody cheered.
No, she would, her feelings wouldn't have been hurt. She would have been like, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if she said, if she put up a sign in her head saying, see, Dixie, this is how you are hated.
This is why you're hated, because at least I know how to fall through a bloody table.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, also bouncing around on the injured reserve list and all the timing. This sucks.
Oh, God.
Oh, this all let fists, just... no flips, but...
Yeah, so, and how's that go? You know, you have a plan until somebody punches you in the mouth? What plan do you have after you break your freaking jaw?
Yep. Yes, it's just like, haven't done this in a while, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I have some bad news. Dash Wilder has got on the injured reserve list and now has to revive his jaw because it's broken. And unlike broken Matt Hardy, this was not delightful.
No.
And here's the funny thing. He was doing it to close out his NXT commitments.
How bad is that?
Oh, for crying out. Ah.
It happened on an NXT show.
Oh, Nikki, I got worried when I heard that Ty Dillinger's last match was going to be against Eric Young in a steel cage match. I'm like, oh, God, knowing these two, they're going to try and steal the show with this match. And we're probably going to have a perfect 10 injury here.
God, I hope not. I hope that, at least I hope that's not what happened.
No, he survived and he gave a nice thank you to everybody and did a bow and left.
So that's good. But yeah, just, you know, we just got the revival on TV and ow. That just sucks.
Well, they'll come back. They'll come back.
Oh yeah, I mean he's gonna be out. He's out 2 months with the jaw, and unfortunately that's something you just can't wrestle around.
Yeah, well if not, Scott Dawson can always get a replacement partner in Aiden English because I hear Aiden English is looking for a partner.
Well, just the fact that Aiden English got to break out some of his theatrics recently.
Over the last couple of shows, yeah.
Yes. I am thoroughly bemused, and Daydreamer Dan is going to geek about this because he just said, you know, this is a theater geek who decided to go into wrestling.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
So, let's see, what do I want to go to next? Do I actually want to sneak down and do Raw and SmackDown, or do I want to do all these odds and ends that we got in here?
Well, I mean, we're still sort of just free-forming the odds and ends. Like, and there's another one I forgot to tell you. Mr. Punk's wife, AJ Brooks, is on the New York Times bestseller list.
For Crazy Is My Superpower.
That is correct.
Yes, and everybody's been having a lot of fun with... people on the board were having fun with this. We find this AJ is a literary genius.
Oh, God. Phil Brooks himself had fun with this. He went and surprised his wife at one of her book signings, incognito, doing the old hat and sunglasses disguise. And as soon as she saw him, she started freaking out, and then he went up and hugged her, going, "I'm your biggest fan. Can I get a hug?"
Oh, that's awesome. Shoot, I can't find it. But people were making Harley Quinn jokes, Harley Quinn Joker references, because of how crazy AJ is.
She was bettier than Harley Quinn. Give me a break.
Right. But to which I had made a joke, and I'm not going to be able to find it real quick, but somebody made the comment, well, the Joker was a sociopath that you know, took advantage of a vulnerable and lost young lady. And I wrote underneath it, CM Punk.
Oh. Oh, dear.
That was kind of mean, but it was funny.
CM Punk only looked like a woman in the octagon. That was it.
Yeah, oh, God. Speaking of Chicago,
yeah, he looks like Austin Aries, by the way, as an incognito. That's pretty funny. He's wearing a Cubs hat. You see do you want the video of this? Because I think it's like 42 seconds.
Bring it over, and I want to take at least look at a still of him in incognito.
Well, he looks incognito. Let's put it this way: he looks like the average serial killer poster that you see up wanted. It's like, have you seen this man with his hat and beard and sunglasses?
Maybe that Waffle House joke that Kevin Nash made isn't so off after all. Oh, oh my God, I'm your biggest fan.
Doofus!
That's adorable. That's just adorable.
Yes. Yep.
That's so cute. God.
That's cute.
Let's see.
Hey,
go ahead. Go ahead, Shane.
Well, I was going to say, While I've got you, we know that this is a winning situation with CM Punk, but I was talking about the broken Matt Hardy situation earlier, but with TNA's recent loss in court, do they really want to try this lawsuit for the broken gimmick?
I thought that was done.
No. But that is a very good segue, actually, because this week, TNA admitted in court that they breached a contract with Audience of One and paid $330,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is that I'm just going to say that Shane is absolutely right. They shouldn't sue for Jack with this whole creative stuff and just let it go. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I would.
Because yeah. especially with all the rumors that have now been confirmed that, you know, TNA and AAA have a working agreement, as well as the rumblings that they're also in talks of Lucha Underground. Do you think these two prestigious Mexican companies want to be teamed up with people that can't win a day in court over contract breaches and everything else?
Wouldn't know. And with the fact that the rumor is Kanellis and Bennett coming back to the WWE, heard rumors of that as well.
Yes.
More in NXT, from what I'm hearing, correct or no?
They're biting past NXT apparently, and they will be on SmackDown Live sooner or later.
Hmm.
Kanellis as a rep. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Maria actually going to wrestle this time? Because and they got to be careful because she was another one. She was another one of the Playboy divas.
She was, but she actually. She went beyond that. I mean, she is a sex symbol, but she's a smart woman.
Right, but I'm kind of going down the same path with say, China. I know it's a completely different situation, but...
No, because they actually released a trailer for the documentary this week.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
It's called... Hold on one second. I just had. Oh, and by the way, you want to hear something nuts? I was speaking of surgery. By the way, the documentary is called "Wrestling with China," and the trailer was released. It's called the official documentary, and the trailer is up on YouTube if you want to check it.
I'll check that a little later. Yeah.
Right. Now you want to hear about nutballs? Okay. So we all know that our good friend Mr. Mick Foley, who was fired, storyline-wise, so that he could get his hip surgery. He posted a picture on Instagram this week of him, you know, with Yertle the... No, I'm sorry, not Yertle the Crown. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, like I said, he had an elf visit him, not a clown.
Yeah, he had an elf. Exactly. But try this on for size. Sandman, who is a nut boy, okay? He went underwear surgery for a hernia yesterday afternoon, and upon leaving the procedure, he drove himself to a taping for episodes of Season 2 of the High Spot Wrestling Network's Legends of Extreme series. Are you crazy, boy?
Well, it depends. Is he actually wrestling for them, or is he just going to talk?
He's just talking.
Well, then, what are you worried about?
Okay. He's still nutty, right?
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing. I would be more concerned if he was actually going to go in there and do something.
Yes.
If he's just talking, it's safe. But if he's going to go out there and actually do something, oh my God.
No, yeah, well. All I know is that the man's nuts. But I'm telling you, this week was bizarro world on wrestling. I mean, just, you know, on Raw and SmackDown for the most part. Bizarro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just want to bring this up because I hate to waste a good line. People were actually a little concerned that Roman was so apologetic the week before, after firmly declaring that he claimed the yard. So then he gets then he got annihilated by Braun. So they weren't sure what was going on, and I said, well, I'd have a hard time staying badass if my brother was in the hospital.
True.
So, just had to get that out there, sorry.
Oh, no. And also, Shane, you said you wanted to, kick some sand in the dirt of Impact Wrestling?
We'll get to that eventually. But yeah, I've got more of a problem with SmackDown this week than I do with Impact Wrestling, believe it or not.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. But Nikki, let's talk about the good show this week, which was Raw, by far. Oh my God. That was fun.
This was a really, really fun show, and it's a show like this is why I watch. We got to see, a match, a first time match, watching Cesaro fight Jeff Hardy. We got to see Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho. How many fantasy bookers, needed a fresh pair of pants that night?
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss finding a way to become the number one contender for Bayley's title. All of my yes.
And probably finding her way on Nia's death list too, but
yeah, Balor getting some light work, but it's been shown online that he ain't even mad that Jinder Mahal forearmed him so hard.
He gave a little jab to Jinder Mahal, but all in fun.
Right. It was essentially an I ain't even mad tweet with a picture of Jinder wearing Balor's new t-shirt.
Yeah.
With the 80s motif, I believe. Mm-hmm. The 80s letters.
And mysterious looking drifter that Chris Jericho forgot your name. You just made the list.
Well, I love the fact I was when Elias just kind of strolled through the back of the interview. I wanted Jericho and the reporter to just freeze, and then just pick up like nothing had happened, like the old cartoons. When somebody would just come bumbling through in the middle of a scene, they'd stop and they'd watch that happen, yeah. And they'd go right back to whatever they were doing, because Jericho is a cartoon character, damn it.
You're talking about like sort of like the old Saved by the Bell series, where it's like freeze frame, here comes Elias Samson walking through doing his thing, and then it's like back to normal. It's like, and anyways,
exactly. That's what I was looking for.
And we had some more Miz and Maryse Ambrose Dufosity.
Which I can, you know, I can watch every day and twice on Sunday.
I still can't believe that people are saying that this man is lazy. Like, Ambrose is lazy. I'm like, hell, I don't think he's lazy. I think his booking has been lazy, if that's being completely honest.
Well, I think what Miz was going after was more the fact that, you know, Ambrose looks like, you know, whenever Ambrose shows up, no matter what he does, he always shows up looking like he just rolled out of bed. And that he's, you know, he doesn't present himself as a superstar should. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've seen Renee Young try and clean up his image, but it ain't working.
No.
It's not going to work.
Dean, do not clean up much. I think that's more what Miz was going after, the fact that, you know, here's a guy who wrestles in jeans and a t-shirt, you know, who doesn't look like he combed his hair, who, you know, is usually, you know, whenever he shows up, sometimes he's just sitting there eating nachos or popcorn or whatever. And, you know, you don't present yourself like a superstar. And Dean's like, I don't have to.
I'm Dean fucking Ambrose.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, you know, I still got the Intercontinental Championship that I won off of you, by the way.
Yeah. which was awesome, by the way. That was great. That's great.
So, and to top it all off, the main event of the Revenge of the Kaiju Wrestling match.
I can just say honestly now, ladies and gentlemen, this ring was not made of Japanese boards. This was very breaky, breaky, bishy, bishy.
I'll tell you, you know what's even funnier? People were putting up little R.I.P. John Combe because he fell out of the ring when it imploded, so they thought it fell on him.
Jesus Christ. I've never seen a man go flying so far in all my life. I mean, I felt like he just jumped on a trampoline and went, woo!
Well, here's the interesting thing. We started the night when Strowman actually did what you wanted him to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got rid of Roman Reigns. Thanks. You're welcome. I mean, yeah. that's what he said, kinda.
Pretty much. You know, I got rid of Roman for you, you're welcome. But now I still need some competition. And that wasn't forthcoming. Dork Boy wasn't accommodating, so Braun started myrtleizing people backstage.
Oh, no, he did the thing that everyone loves to hear. He said, Angle, I want competition or else.
You know what?
And Kurt was like, or else what? What?
Or else what? Well, let's see. R-Truth got mangled. Kalisto got trashed.
Goldust got sent through a steel friggin' door.
Fencing, yes. Ouch.
And who was he beating up when show finally came around?
Kalisto.
Oh, he was still working over Kalisto when Big Show.
No, he wasn't working over Kalisto. He was walking away from Kalisto because he said, "You're trash, just like Roman." And then he just, you know, dumped his ass in a dumpster.
Yeah, and then, okay. And then Big Show ran into him and said, why don't you pick on somebody your own size?
Right.
And that's in the rare instances that Show can actually say that.
Right, exactly. But the match. Oh, my God, the match. Okay.
Again, kaiju mat wrestling.
But now here's the thing. For the second time in a row, we had mat wrestling from Braun Strowman and Big Show.
Yes.
Mat wrestling.
Yes. And it makes me giggle. It makes me smile just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice big middle finger to all marks that are like, Big Show can't go anymore, and for a guy his size, he's too big to move. Big Show and Braun Strowman says, yeah, bullshit, watch this.
Yeah, and the fact that the two had been working out together for a little while, now that they know each other a little bit better.
Oh, have they really? For reals?
If there was a comparison picture put up a while back that between the two of them and how much weight they've both lost and how much they've toned up, mm-hmm. leading to Mania. But I believe they had been working out together. And it's nice to be able to work with somebody your own size. Yeah, it's fun watching Strowman throw Kalisto around like Big Show used to throw Rey Mysterio around. But then watching Godzilla versus Ghidorah in the middle of the ring, you mm-hmm. know, where do I sign? And then they actually start wrestling. And to this, I just keep thinking of bewildered JR when Kane and the Big Show did that to him. Or it was supposed to be some sort of, you know, they were talking about it like a typical monster, you know, monster match, and then they start wrestling. I also love the fact that they teased the ring implosion several times. The crowd was just begging for it.
Yes, exactly. And this is also what we call the 7-year rule. Okay.
Indeed. Because the last time they did this was Vengeance 08?
Something like that.
No, if it was a 7-year rule, it would have been back in 2010 with Mark Henry, wasn't it?
We're thinking of the same one. Where they broke the ring, but it wasn't even to the main event.
Right.
Yeah, actually, there was a meme about it. It was saying, then, what was it? Was it then
was Lesnar Big Show, yeah.
Yeah.
Vengeance 2011, by the way.
Okay, so yeah, go. Close enough. But yeah, I knew Mark Henry was part of that ring implosion. The only other, and then, you know, everybody remembers Lesnar Big Show from 03. And nobody remembers the spell casting of The Undertaker making the ring implode under Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Which is why they moved the Royal Rumble in 06 to the middle of the show.
Yep.
Dumb. Just dumb.
They don't do it often, but when they do, it makes a statement.
Yes, it does. And we make a statement too. That's where you usually get the longest holy shit chants. When they did it in 03, they chanted it for 5 straight minutes.
And once again, Braun Strowman gets a friggin' standing ovation after he stands up and just goes, Braun! It's like, Jesus.
He's going to be the biggest badass face when he turns. Okay.
Yeah, this guy is going to be. This guy is taking both Kane and Big Show's place as the monster.
All I know is Vince, you need to send a FedEx to wherever Brock Lesnar's hiding right now with a letter saying, "Please put your Universal Championship back in this. We're vacating it." And bring it back to Raw, so either Strowman or Bella or someone on there that's on there every week can defend the damn thing.
Hey, what about that? How about that 30-day rule?
Oh, please. We didn't get that last year. Brock didn't defend the title within 60 days, let alone 30 days.
Oh, I know. The last time this happened, yeah, he just sat at home with the belt in his lap. And no, I don't want that to happen again. I agree with you, Shane. I think they should send him a letter in a box with the return postage, send the belt back. You know, we got people who actually want to work for it.
I mean, come on, Jesus Christ. Even TJ Perkins is getting over with people. God damn.
Which, by the way, I like heel TJ Perkins.
It's a subtle turn to me.
Yes, but I do agree with, who was it that said it? One of the other people said that he needs new music, which he does. Because it's just a little bit too upbeat for
it's a boss stage music. Isn't that heel enough for you?
I would take it if it was we're talking like Bowser from Mario boss stage music, not Mega Battle freaking.
Well, granted, yes, it's Mega Man 2, so you know we need to do a little bit better than that. But you know, TJ's actually interesting now that he is something of a heel, and it's kind of fun to watch Neville watching TJ and hoping that TJ will beat up Austin Aries for him. Please,
yes. Speaking of pick on someone your own size. Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Neville's bigger than all of them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So that was pretty much the good on the WWE side.
It was a wonderful, wonderful show, and I've got to put this in here because this is very relevant. And another wonderful big fuck you at TNA.
Specifically what?
Cesaro versus Jeff Hardy was sponsored by Zyzel. What is the Zyzel mascot?
Oh, yes! Fuck that owl!
They did that on purpose. You cannot tell me that is a coincidence. That was on freaking purpose. And every time they put it up on the screen, Triple H is just laughing his ass off in Gorilla.
Oh, so you think he did that?
Well, however they got the deal, they made sure that was going to be the match.
Think every Jeff Hardy match next until is going to be sponsored by Zyzel? Fuck that owl.
I think they're going to find ways to do this. I said.
Until.
Go ahead, Shane.
I was going to say, yeah, until that lawsuit's dropped from them, I can expect TNA to be getting a lot more bear poking sticks from WWE.
Because, I'm sorry, WWE loves pointing middle fingers at TNA in the most subtle ways. The whole thing with AJ Styles' arrival and debut was all in Orlando.
Ah, yes. Yes, it was.
And the Hardys showing up at WrestleMania, which it's kind of Providence in this case, but it was in Orlando.
And add on all the other little jabs that they gave them throughout the year, like AJ Styles on the WWE Network saying, "This is home for me. This is where I've always wanted to be.
Yeah. When he came, one of the first times he came out on Raw, he was saying that, you know, I should have been here all along. I should have been here a whole lot sooner. The jab that he got at him on the Edge and Christian show. WWE is not going to just waste one show saying fuck you to TNA. They're going to do it every chance they get, and only the diehards are going to get it.
I'm waiting for Kevin Owens just to come out one time and say, I'm a total nonstop asshole, okay? Just...
And I hope they, you know, I like the fact that he's, you know, calling himself the face of America and just, you know, rubbing everybody's nose in it. But I've heard that he doesn't like the fact that this has turned into a one note gimmick.
Yeah, he's basically become like, he's basically facing jobbers. So he's become early stage Braun Strowman facing jobbers in this Open America Challenge, where he doesn't need to do that. We need to have him as an actual contender. So have him facing off against guys like Dolph Ziggler or somebody else that can actually put up a fight.
And the eventuality with Sami Zayn, since they will play forever.
Yeah, but that's one of my problems I'm going to get into eventually.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and get into SmackDown? Because SmackDown, if you want Bizarro World, this was Bizarro World.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start my rant off now so that way everyone gets a chance to do their thing and talk more about the show, because I got to get this off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
To SmackDown Creative, I don't know who got in your ear. I don't know what went wrong. But what you did was the wrong friggin' call. Jinder Mahal as your number one contender for the WWE Championship. That makes no fucking sense whatsoever. And the whole reason why we found out you did it was because WWE is planning on doing more stuff over in India, and they need an Indian star built up. So, yeah.
Including a link.
Yes. And you've openly publicized it to everyone now that, yeah, you are conducting more business in India, and that's where it clicks with everyone and goes, oh, okay, so you're openly admitting that this man became your number one contender because of his skin color. Okay. Whereas you had two guys there, Sami Zayn and Luke Harper, that made more sense storyline-wise to make them number one contender. Sami Zayn could have won and then turned heel against Randy Orton, who you know is going to win, who you know will win the match due to the fact that he, like Neville, he's tired of all the cheering and everything else, and tired of being the underdog. Or you've got Luke Harper, who can continue the continuity with Randy Orton and finally get sweet, sweet vengeance and take the title off Orton and get the monster push.
And by the way, the news report that you posted, Nikki, was that yesterday, as we record this, there is a new general manager, VP of WWE India. The person's name is Shatish Srivastava. Yes, okay. Okay. And this person worked at Disney in India. They're trying to expand in India. And yes, Jinder Mahal may be that person to at least get them over there, because the Great Khali isn't doing much anymore.
And that's pretty much why the Great Khali had a job for so long, is because they would take that footage and they would edit the hell out of it, and then they'd ship it to India. Now they gotta deliver a little bit more because the network is actually airing in India. So now we actually gotta do it for realsies. Now, I understand your frustration, Shane. I really do. But How long has it been that we have gotten a what the hell are you doing facing the champion kind of thing? I mean, I still don't understand how, you know, Jinder's actually still getting rewarded, but like I said, Balor ain't mad. And if this is a, you know, if this is a grab for a market, hey. It also got the Bollywood boys on TV.
Yes, which I didn't know who they were at first. Then when I saw that, oh, it was the Bollywood boys, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, is that Ranjan Singh and someone else? I don't know. What the hell's going on here? I was confused.
Yeah, and I think that the Bollywood boys, as the characters that they portrayed at the Cruiserweight tournament, I don't know how well that was going to translate on TV. Having them as, you know, as toughs for Jinder,
especially would be since great. That's great.
So we're getting three people elevated. Granted, Jinder, this is completely ridiculously out of nowhere for Jinder, but it's going to be a hell of a test title match. I'm intrigued. I also feel really, really bad for the Chicago fans that are going to have to, that have already spent their money for Backlash.
Yes, your main event of the evening, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship.
And this match is brought to you by Trazodone. Guaranteed sleep.
Yes, but we might be saved. We might possibly be saved thanks to some smart booking from SmackDown Creative, in which the queen herself, Charlotte, beat Naomi to become the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they do have a title match this upcoming SmackDown, but I have a feeling that this might actually branch out until Payback.
It could. It certainly could.
Because there's no possible way. Whoops. Sorry.
Careful.
Yes. There's no possible way that they're going to do this match, which can be a 5-star match, twice in 2 weeks. We already got a sample of it this past week. We don't need another sample until Payback.
Right. I agree with. And to that, casting a little bit of, well, the House of Horrors match was never meant to be a title match, so there is a chance that Wyatt might actually get another one over Orton, even if it means it doesn't get the title.
Oh, so was this, so hang on. Is this House of Horrors match not for the championship?
House of Hardcore. Tommy Dreamer's going, what?
If anybody's going to make a House of Horrors, Tommy Dreamer could probably help you out. And he's still working.
I'm sorry. He's coming over here in June, okay? I've got House of Hardcore on the brain.
Tell him I said hi.
They're actually cheaper front row seats. But anyways. But yeah, no, so this House of Horrors match isn't for the title.
No.
Then why the hell am I watching it? That makes absolutely no sense.
If it was for the title, then it would be stupid, because then you'd end up with both A belts on Raw.
Exactly, which is hence the reason why I said that they need to get the damn title off Brock Lesnar, have it FedExed back to Vince, because once Wyatt beats Orton, send that title back to SmackDown, then you can have a tournament or whatever you want to do for the vacant WWE Championship and put the Universal title on Wyatt. And there's your guy carrying the Raw brand.
Mm-hmm.
Which eventually leads to a Bella, which is Eater of Worlds, versus the Demon King. Come on.
Please? Please? Please?
Vince, I will work from home. Just make me your head Raw creative writer. I can guarantee you I will get Raw's ratings up by 50%. Guarantee. Well, I guarantee it.
To all of this, I'm just going to say we need to let it play and see what's going to come of this. I mean, yeah, we're going in with some pretty low expectations. But when we're going in with expectations that low, it's really hard to exceed them, right?
Sure.
Exactly. And Payback the last couple of years has been a very good card.
So if anything, I'm intrigued. And like I said, the Jinder Mahal thing, yeah, it's partially for a cash grab, but makes for an interesting test title match. It gives the Bollywood Boys something to do because there's really no tag division on 205 Live.
Well, here's the thing with the Jinder Mahal thing is actually people have brought it to an interesting attention. Is if you stop and think about it, you have Jinder Mahal going for the WWE Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Galloway is probably going to be, after Hideo Itami's done, will be going for the NXT Championship.
So by that logic, Heath Slater is supposed to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, by that logic, yes. And three-man band will be the new hot commodity in WWE.
Hunter, I would pay Mania money and dare you, oh my God, dare you, Sir Schnozzalot, to try to pull that off. I dare the WWE to try to pull all that off.
Goldberg comes back out of nowhere, spears Brock Lesnar, Heath Slater gets the pin, 1, 2, 3. Run!
Perfect. And you know what? I would buy a bunch of I Got Kids shirts and give them to non-wrestling friends.
One thing from SmackDown I actually did not mind. That I think it was long overdue was Epico and Primo getting a very nice win over American Alpha.
No.
But hang on. Reason why I say that is because Epico and Primo, I know people think that they're like they've been made out to be a joke, but these two are actually very good wrestlers. They are good wrestlers, whether they get portrayed as jokes or not. They prove it in the ring with all their moves. I'm just saying, it probably wasn't the best idea to have them beating America Alpha off the bat. But we've got at least, as you said, Nikki, bit of a shock factor.
Yeah.
Do I think that they're going to be winning the SmackDown Championship anytime soon? No.
No, but by no means. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I'm still waiting for more with American Alpha. And why aren't they on Raw?
Yes, we've all voiced our frustration with that. It's like, damn it, we had World's Greatest Tag Team 2.0 here and you muffed it.
Yeah. You are telling me that you've got the most wrestling-centric tag team not on the same show with Kurt freaking Angle. Where's Shelton, by the way? We need him to show up.
He'll be back anytime soon from what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Yes.
Have they branded him yet?
I wouldn't be surprised if you see him as one of Kevin Owens' open face of America challenges after Payback.
Okay, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that.
So have him beat Styles for the championship, and then he'll be put in a feud with Benjamin. I'll have a bet. Hell, I'll take Styles and Shelton Benjamin feud.
Ooh. Yeah, you can talk me into that.
Your arm got twisted.
Okay, dude, after, you know, for all of Shelton's work in Money in the Bank matches, the infamous Gold Rush match with Shawn Michaels and the super kick heard around the world.
Oh. Oh.
No, not you. That's not me this time. Hello, Kitta.
That was me.
You have a cat, too?
Yes.
Okay.
But moving on.
Yeah.
But moving on. This was one of those wait and see sort of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We're going somewhere. We're not really sure where yet.
Correct.
This is leading to something. And since we don't know, we have to keep watching. That's called storytelling, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but now, speaking of storytelling, I don't know how much storytelling I can take from Impact Wrestling, because that story ain't going nowhere.
Uh-oh, okay. Thankfully, I'm sitting down and I have a cat in my lap, so I can't get away. Fill me in.
All right, so how we started off Impact was we got the lovely news from Karen Jarrett that we already frigging knew, that was written on the walls as soon as we heard Jeff Jarrett was back from back with TNA, is that Global Force Wrestling and TNA are joining forces. So all Global Force wrestlers are now part of the Impact Wrestling roster. So we've got that. Low key returned. Chris Adonis made his appearance known again. There was another one that made his Impact Wrestling return. I can't remember who it was.
Sanjay Dutt.
Yes, thank you. Sanjay Dutt made his return, and Low Key is your new Impact X Division champion, and he's got a new Hitman gimmick where he literally comes out dressed as Hitman from the video games.
Oh, nice. And of course, my most important thing, Josh Matthews got punched in the mouth.
Oh, that yes. What a way to end the show. What a way to end the show, though. Like, JB punching out Josh Matthews. Really? Okay, look, I'm going to say this very slowly. For Jeff Jarrett, for Dutch Mantel, Bruce Pritchard, and all the other morons in TNA management, announcer versus announcer storylines do not work. That is the reason why your viewership is dying, a slow and very painful death. The sooner that you focus on the wrestling, which is what people tuned into TNA in the first place for, the sooner you get viewers back.
Now, come on. How did you really think that TNA was going to learn this lesson? We're talking about the league that follows up their WrestleMania with a 2-hour show with 90 minutes of talk.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is that if TNA doesn't learn this very soon, they're going to lose a lot more people because they've already lost another person. And it was another member of one of their greatest tag teams that they had. Crazy Steve has said adios to Impact Wrestling.
Hunter, pick up the phone.
So Decay is finished.
And Hunter should pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Crazy Steve, I got this stable in NXT that sounds like a perfect fit for you.
Maybe you could lose your sanity."
Yeah. You could lose your sanity.
Well, you've already lost your sanity.
Yeah, he probably lost all his sanity working for TNA, but at least this time you'll get paid for it.
Mm.
And Crazy Steve out the door is, you know, is a pretty bad loss, but they are getting someone to, they're getting somebody coming in, and that would be Mr. Matt Sydal, better known to the WWE universe as Evan Bourne, who, you know, screwed up foot or not, I miss him.
Yes, so. screwed up foot and drug policy issues aside. Yes, Evan Bourne or Matt Sydal, whatever he's going to come back as, will be making his return to Impact Wrestling after a, correct me if I'm wrong, 11-year hiatus.
Did he actually work for TNA?
Apparently he did. Someone, I read somewhere that apparently he did an early stint with them back in 2006, I think it was.
How did I miss that? I was actually watching at the time.
I know. I'll double check that just to clarify. But hang on one sec.
Because he was in WWE from like 08 to 2011. Because he was part of that epic picture that you know essentially destroyed the IWC. When he was tagging with Kofi.
Sorry, I stand corrected. It was 2004 to 2005.
That's how I missed him. Okay, because I saw him in Ring of Honor in 06. In fact, I almost had him and Delirious in my lap at a Ring of Honor show. Sydal is getting his second shot in TNA. Sydal versus Low Ki. If Sydal's even at 75%, that's going to be a hell of a match. Don't know if it's going to get me to tune in or not, but E for effort.
He wasn't really there for any specific reason. He was only there for the monthly pay-per-view Victory Road, in which he participated in a X Division Gauntlet match to see who would go on to face Christopher Daniels at Sacrifice.
Okay, so blink and I missed it. Fair enough.
Yeah, he was just a filler.
Okay. That's a shame, because I still think he's a hell of a talent. I mean, he just needs to get his personal life in order.
Yes, indeed.
So I think we've done everything that we're gonna talk about tonight. Because somehow New York has gone silent.
Well. Someone has to get up at the butt crack of dawn, apparently. So,
well, O-Dark 30 does come very quickly, so we can definitely call it a show here. So before we go, Muckamuck, are you still awake?
That's a laugh in itself.
That was worth a shot. I know you typically don't have much to promote, so...
Yes, no soap tonight.
Unfortunately, no soap will be sold this evening, but that doesn't mean we are not coming back next week. We're going to keep on doing this. So for the hastily departed Jason Block, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back next week. Hopefully we'll have some better news. And God damn it, Rosie, I miss you.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.